There is nothing permanent except change. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, the Far Valley Ranch, the Absolute Monastery, and all sorts of wonderful places. But the most wonderful of all is the School of the Master. Bringing you Absolute Philosopher. Never thought I'd get to that, did you? And our topic today is there is nothing permanent except change. We were just talking this morning about having a little pamphlet that tells all the details about visiting here on campus. Whether you visit for a day or a couple of days or a week or longer, or whether you become a monk, you know, and are here permanent. Many people ask these questions, and we have to reiterate these things each time we talk to them, because the folders that we made up were considering different things at different times. As it says here, there is nothing permanent except change. And this is one of the things about the campus here. People come to campus, and when they're on campus, they find that the campus program changes from moment to moment. One minute, the campus program is saying one thing, and the next minute, it's saying something else. But you said this yesterday, and you said this 2 weeks ago, and you said this last month, and you said, ha, 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 how about that? Isn't that wonderful? I do everything to screw you up so that you're not possessed by rules, so that you're not possessed by schedules, so you're not possessed, but just to follow what it is. You know, the Catholic Church has the rosary, you know, Hail Mary, Mother of God, blah, 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 and you go by the beads, you know. And after a while, if you were to say to somebody, what's the middle of the Hail Mary? They'd have to stop and think. When you say, okay, now let's say the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, and you know, you rattle that off, and then I say to you, what did Jesus say about sins in there? Nothing. And you see, you had to stop and think. Because the words of the prayer were so in your mind that you hadn't really paid much attention to them. You just rattled them off. And so it is with the rules of the monastery here. We have had monks here, and we've had dozens of monks, and we've had a couple of monks, and we've had monks of all variety. We had sincere monks, and we've had insincere monks, and we've had dedicated spiritual seekers. And then we have had people like Sibyl Agabua, who hasn't arrived here yet. But when she arrives here, she is going to be the princess. You watch. Sibyl wrote me a letter yesterday, which she had written to me back in February in email, but it finally got to me yesterday. And in that letter, she said, one of her relatives said to her, Sibyl, you are an amazing lady. You live what you teach and believe. You are really wonderful. But Sibyl, you call yourself a seeker. And Sibyl, if you are a seeker, how can you say, I am God, God I am, and you are already God, and you've already found what you're seeking, so why do you call yourself a seeker? And Sibyl says, oh my God, why am I calling myself a seeker when I am one? Am I not paying attention to the words of the rosary? Am I not paying attention to the words of what I believe about myself? The bleeds about my Lord's Prayer, the prayer that I say, what? I am God, God I am. My goodness, that's a heavy thing to say. And Jesus said, ye are God, you know. And we haven't believed him from the beginning, because to believe him means that we have to take responsibility for it, and we have to start acting like God. We cannot talk about our troubles unless we want more troubles. I'm going to say that several times. We cannot talk about our troubles unless we want more troubles. We cannot talk about our troubles unless we want more troubles. We cannot talk about our troubles unless we want more troubles. So when people come to a practitioner and tell the practitioner their troubles, they want more troubles. When people come to a practitioner and say, I would be whole, the practitioner would say, it's done. And so it is. But you don't know. That's just fine. All I know is that you're whole and perfect. You live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body. Every organ, action, function in your body is perfect right now. Every relationship you have is ideal. Every person in your world is the master of their life because you created them beautiful, and on and on and on. But positive, positive, positive. Now, can you see? Mm-hmm. We have so long said the negative and thought that we were being so humble and so contrite by speaking the negative. But, you know, I've got a broken leg, I've got a bad foot, I've got a headache, I got migraines. Oh my gosh, do I have migraines? Well, good for you. Good for you. That's not nice of me to say that, is it? But, you see, that's why we have to say there's nothing permanent except change. Now, do you want to keep on having migraine headaches? Talk about them. Now, Ellen, are you having a migraine headache? Are you talking about it? Or are you talking about your wholeness and your perfection? You know, I told you the story about this woman with seven kids, and they all came down with a cold, and the neighbor says, how do you do it? Why don't you get a cold too? And the mother says, I don't have time to be sick. I have to take care of my kids. Well, you know, what a good excuse. She believes she's whole and perfect, she lives whole and perfect, and she takes care of her kids and has a good time. Now, she's a little foolish lady though, isn't she? She should say, my children are whole and perfect too. Don't keep it just to yourself. Say, my children are, but they got cold. That's the point. You don't have a cold because you don't call it forth in your experience. Don't have them call it forth in their experience, and certainly don't you call it forth in their experience, you see? There's nothing permanent except change. So when people come to the monastery, right away they want to say what brought them here. And I don't give a hoot and holler in hell what brought them here. All I care about is that they're here and they want what we have to share. Whether they've been the Pope before, or whether they've been the President of the United States, whether they've been anything else, makes no difference. All that matters is that they're here now to listen to our teaching and this words that we have here, that you are God, God is all that you are. And when they come to that realization, then they make a change. They make a big change. The change from needing credit, to for the experiences they've had in their life, good or bad or indifferent, you know. But people want credit for it. I want credit for the fact that I was in the hospital for 20 years, you know, in a coma, and I just came out. So what? You came out. That's the point. That's the point. Live in the now. Do you want to live in the missing 20, 30 years? Or do you want to live in the now? Where do you want to live? What do you want to do? Do you want to be a happy soul? Do you want to be a fulfilled person? Live in the now. Life is full of change. That's the only thing that's permanent in life, is change. And then, what happens? The moment you, with Seville, say, there's no path for me to walk. There's no searching for me to do. There's no seeking for me to find. I am God. I am the allness of God. I am the fulfillment of God. And that's okay. I am the fulfillment of God. And that's okay. There's no more searching. You are God. Can you be anything more than God? I cannot envision it. I cannot envision anything more than the allness, the isness, the absolute. Can you? If you can, I want to talk to you. Boy, oh boy. But hey, that's wonderful. There's no seeking there, is there? And here's the big point. There's no change. Once you are the allness, the isness, absolute God, there is no change. You are that which is. You are everything in the allness, and you're the nothingness. It sounds so complex, but it really isn't. Because what is our next phrase after I am God, God am? Be,
be myself and have fun.
Right, you got the message. Be myself and have fun. So if you are yourself and having fun, and you are God, wow, what a great show. Now, you, each one of you, perky, perky people, you can write a Bible. You can be a Muhammad. I wouldn't suggest going that way. He did his thing, you do yours. But, and then, or you can be an Abraham, and you can be the prophets of old and so forth, and be that Bible. Or you can be any Bible you want. But I recommend that you start studying the Bible in you. The divine book, which God in you is. And start to realize you don't even know the facets that are in there. You don't even know the magic that's in your book of God in you. You don't even know the excitement that's there. My goodness sakes. We found this little bunny in the field. At least Rex brought him into us. And Sylvie's been nursing him now, giving him egg and milk and all sorts of things that the internet recommended. And so the little guy's come along just fine. But he's a hopper. And the minute Sylvie opens her hands and feeds him, he wants to hop. He wants to jump, not with the nipples in his mouth. That he sits still for. That he's perfectly happy with. But once that's over, he wants to hop. He's got to get back to his family. He's got to get back to the hole in the ground where he and his family were raised, where I think Rex probably found him. But you see, he's a hopper. Now, when he has the nipple in his mouth, when he has the eyedropper in his mouth, and he's drinking this milk and enjoying it so salubriously, his tongue comes out and laps it up, and he just gets it all over his face, and he's just so happy. And I said to him this morning when I was holding him, we haven't named him yet. I said, well, little fella, you're fed a lot better than your brothers and sisters are fed. And you're being loved a lot more than your brothers and sisters were loved. They had to just fend for themselves. But we'll see how you come along and how you progress. And when you're ready to go back into the wild, we may put you out and we may not. May find somebody who wants to raise you. Because the wild is around here is pretty exciting. There are a lot of people who would like to have you for lunch or dinner or breakfast or whatever. And we're not interested in putting you out there to be somebody's meal. But that's part of the tradition, you know. Okay, now, change. See, there's nothing permanent except change. Now, that little rabbit was in this house, and Rex found him and brought him for a mile and a half, carried him in his mouth and dropped him and carried him and dropped him and carried him in the wet grass. He probably even dropped him in a puddle, you know. But then he brought him home, that he gave him to me. And I thought it was dead, so I put it up in a bush, and Rex looked up and says, hey, that's my guy. And so the guy jumped right down in from the bush into Rex's mouth. And so Rex brought him home. But you see, what are you going to do? You know, that's Rex's creation. And he wants to check him over now, too. He didn't, not one bruise on him. Not one damage on that little rabbit whatsoever. Rex was a good mother, golden retriever. But you see, this is what life is all about. This is what life is all about. There's nothing permanent except change. No. What sort of things are you going to have that are going to be permanent in your life or change in your life? Do you have a physical body? Stop thinking about it. Start thinking about your divine body. Hey, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. You know what your spirit, mind, and body is. You know what your ideal spirit, mind, and body is. I don't. But I kind of think it's nice. I kind of think it's so much better than anything I could dream up for myself. I mean, I can dream of an Adonis body and, you know, all that good stuff, but my ideal one is so much better. My ideal one can do anything the Adonis body can do and more. It can jump over the moon if I choose, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, who wants to jump over the moon? That's not the point. You can do anything you want to do. Anything. And so everything you want to do is good. Now, is it going to take a lot of energy to jump over the moon?
No.
Well, the nursery rhyme of the children is, and the cow jumped over the moon, remember? Well, now, that cannot be impossible if someone has it as a thought in their mind. Mm-hmm. And did the cow land on earth without breaking its legs coming down from... I mean, you know, it was just like jumping over a flower in the garden, you know? And we have to stop and think. We're not thinking of this in relationship to the appearances. A cow jumps over a flower. You jump over a ball. and you think nothing of it. So now just put that ball up there in the sky and call it the moon, and you jump over that. And you land just as gently as you would if you jumped over a ball. Now, why is it we silly people, we can walk along the sidewalk, we can walk along a road, and we are walking perfectly fine. Walk along the living room floor. But put a 2x4 there, even 2 2x4s, and walk along those 2 2x4s right next to each other, and you are nervous as a cat on a hot tin roll. You are so concerned. You're wiggly, and your balance is unstable. You have put another cause in motion. Now, you put the same cause in motion that you do when you walk across the carpet, and you'd walk just as stately and just as confident as you could be. You see, what we are teaching here in the University of Healing is we are teaching self-confidence. We're teaching the awareness that you're God, that you're the creator of your world, and you create a very good world. And you're being yourself and you're having fun. You're not coming here to be something different than what you are. You're coming here to be something that you are, but you haven't been expressing it, perhaps. And what is this something that you are? This something that you are is divine. This something that you are is glorious. This something that you are is exciting and fun. No person should ever be bored at the monastery if they are really working on the program. Because I get with you and I say, Sylvia, there's nobody but you and me here. What are you thinking right now? And thinking, she's saying, there's nobody here, but, well, who is this nobody you're thinking about who's not here? You see? And so what Sylvia says is, Herb, you and I are here. Herb, I am one with you. Herb, there is nothing else in my consciousness, in my mind, in my thought. You don't say that. But you and me. But you see, so make it so. There's nothing else in our consciousness but each other. We are together doing whatever we're doing, and it is so. And we can be surrounded by 1,000 people, but we're nothing but the two of us. It's like two lovers, you know. They see each other across the floor, and they've never met. And their eyes sparkle with each other. Ooh, oh, bub, 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 bub. Their old heart goes boomity, boomity, boom. And they're just having a ball. Now, are they in love? Do they want sex? Do they want to have a relationship? Do they want anything? No! They are just one. They are just one. And you see, the most pure relationship between a human being and another human being is the relationship when they look at each other and they say, yep, you're great. You're fantastic. You're glorious. You're wonderful. It could be two men, two women. It could be a man, a woman. It could be a child and an adult. It doesn't make any difference. A dog? How many people have you heard about who went to the kennel to pick up a dog? And the dogs that they looked at were fine, but the little boy or girl in the family went and found a dog that they equated to, that they sparkled eyes to. And it may have been the runt. It may have been the ugliest one. It may have been a sickly one. It may have been anything. But that kid and that dog sparkled together. And pretty soon the mother and dad had to say, I guess that's the one. I guess that's the one we take home. And you see, this happens so often that this oneness takes place in our life. And it is so easy, like the mother who received the $30 million instantly changed from hating her son and wanting to beat the tar out of him to just absolutely loving him and having no judgment of him. Now, the children go into the kennel and they have no judgment. They're just looking for something to love, something to cuddle, something to play, something that might, I don't want to use the word, but I'm going to, something that might need them, you see? Something that is on the same plateau as they are. Children want to be loved, and puppies want to be loved. And children and puppies want to be, and they don't always love each other properly. Sometimes a child will take a dog and carry him around by his tail, you know, and you say, don't do that, that's not nice. And the dog doesn't mind in the slightest, because he knows he's being loved. He knows he's not being something that is to be damaged. But you see, there's nothing permanent in life except change until we reach the level of the master consciousness, where we reach the awareness that, see, we're not seeking God. We found who we are. We found that we are God, that we are the allness, that we can and do everything we want to do. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Absolute philosopher comes up with some good stuff sometimes. I tell you, that is a lot of fun. Well, have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.